My stepmom would tell me, you know, Dad used to like to start his sermons with a joke. I'm like, oh, he sounds like smiling Joel Osteen. But no, but I said, but it was funny because she told me this joke he used to tell. And I said, I'm going to share this with you guys before we get into the word. And he said, there was a guy. So my stepmom was telling me this. There was a guy in an airplane. And the airplane had a little trouble. And he grabbed a parachute. He jumped out. And as he's coming down, he pulls the string. Nothing happens. And so, Jeff's already laughing. So, I was the same way. I was already laughing. This is just funny in itself. While he's going down, here comes a guy coming up. And there's this ball of flame coming behind him. And the guy yells over, hey, man, you know anything about parachutes? And the guy says, as they're passing each other, the guy says, no. Do you know anything about gas stoves? I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious. So, anyway, I've told it once. I probably won't ever tell it again. But anyway, that was in tribute to my dad there. But we were talking about freedom, guys. And when we went through Galatians, we talked about how we have to fight to stay free. And we talked about how basically religion says don't ask any questions. Think about this. Religion says don't ask any questions. Jesus says ask. Jesus says the opposite. He says ask. You receive. You want a question of something in your life? You want a question as to why something's going on in your life? Ask. God ain't scared. Religion's scared. You might find out, oh, yeah, we're fake. Religion don't want you asking questions. Do what I say. Conform. Pray like I pray. You can be a part of our religious group. And I'm just saying, that's just the way it is. We got 5,000 different flavors out there. It's like going to Baskin Robbins. What's your flavor? Well, I prefer chocolate. Well, I like vanilla. Well, I like kind of combination of both. And, you know, and then we get, and I was thinking last night, I don't know why, sometimes, you ever had this, you ever had God speak to you in the craziest places? You know, I'm in the airport last night, waiting for, we got off the plane, my wife had to go to the bathroom, I'm sitting there waiting, and and all of a sudden God speaks to me, you know, religion, you know what religion is, Chuck? It looks a lot like a man telling you to do it my way, conform. So it's basically worshiping ourselves. We're basically, when we're setting up a religious group, we're setting up worship of ourselves. This is what I think God should be like. This is what I think God should look like. This is who I think God should be. Now that leads us into what we're studying now. Why did Jesus come? He tells us why. Okay. Well, of course, he came to pay our sin, right? But let's think about. Let's go a little deeper. Y'all ready to go deeper? Okay. I'm a deep guy. I don't like snacking. You know, snacking's good, but then I want the full meal deal. Now, I probably want some ice cream and cake on top of that later, and yeah, you know, and maybe some coffee and some other stuff, but. I'm just saying, I like to go deep. So if you think, why did Jesus come? Jesus tells us why he came. And he's going to try, in the whole from John 1 up to John 7, where we're going today, Jesus is trying to tell people what the Father looks like. He's trying to reveal the Father. Now, here's where people struggle. Okay. If you understand your identity, it's critical, young people, the young ones especially, and us adults too. Sometimes we don't understand our identity. You're a child, you're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God. who loves you. Okay, so if you understand who Jesus is, you understand who the Father is. So your whole life can be good or bad based on your perception of God. If you think God is a God out there that's trying to get you and punish you, you're going to go around burdened by sin and burdened by guilt. But if you understand how God loves you without conditions, because we all know our performance from day to day can go from what? 100 to zero. You made 100 on the test today, but tomorrow you failed. Does not change your relationship with Him. You're still a son. You're still a daughter. He still loves you. So if you understand everything Jesus is revealing, is He's revealing the Father to them. He tells them, if you knew my Father, you would know me. I and the Father are one. How does Jesus treat sinners? With compassion, with love. He judges righteously. Look at all the things that Jesus does. Now you're looking at a good Father. So if you understand your Father is a good Father, you understand that God loves you, then you can walk forward in that and understand He has good things for you. And don't believe the lie that religion tells you. And before I get into John 7, I did a tribute to my dad, and the mayor of Washington, Georgia said, I don't know how you got through that, Chuck, but I did. And I prayed before I went up there, believe me. I said, God, just help me get through this. I did a tribute to my dad, and I said, there's five things that my dad said to me that had a profound impact on my life, and not only on my life, but how I perceive God. Y'all ready? First thing he said to me was, I love you. Notice what he didn't say. I love you if. I love you if. Notice what God said. What does Jesus say? I love you. Notice what he doesn't say. I love you if you're on your best behavior at all times. You wear a certain type of clothes. You go to a certain type of church. You shake hands a certain way. You don't do this. You don't do that. You do this and you do that. He didn't say if. He just said, I love you. Period. This is our Heavenly Father. My dad also says, he said, there was a time in my life I wanted to apologize to my dad. My dad was a pastor. I felt like I had embarrassed him by my lifestyle. I went to apologize to him. He says, Charles, you do not owe me an apology. You have never embarrassed me. You do not owe me an apology. I said, you know, this is the same thing as God our Father is saying. You do not owe God an apology. He created you to be you. He loves you like you are. I always tell people this. He's not in love with a future version of you. If you try harder, do better, give more, you're almost there. Just keep trying. You're almost there. No, he's not that. No. You're there. You're already there. Rest in it. I tried to apologize. And then my father told me, I've never been disappointed in you. God is telling you this today. He's not disappointed in any of you. I said, if you were going to apologize to God, I imagine the conversation would go kind of like this. God, I think I owe you an apology. You know what he would say? What for? You know why he would say what for? Because the account of your life, the ledger that everybody, that religion says he's keeping a ledger of all the bad things you've done, and he's going to bring those up one day and say, look here, it's torn in half and burned in the fire. It's gone. There is no account. There is no, I remember your sins no more. Does that sound familiar? So not only has God forgiven us, he remembers our sins no more. Wow. That's more than we can do. My dad said, I've been praying for you. That was the fourth thing I brought out. I've been praying for you. And I am praying for you. And I related that to my Heavenly Father. Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And the Holy Spirit continuously intercedes for us with groanings that because we don't even know what to pray. You know how when we get in our little circle and we think we're getting, okay, God, we're going to pray, we're going to pray. And I imagine God is smiling at us, going, I got you. I know your heart. And my Spirit's going to pray for you. So we can just, we can say words, but the Spirit is praying for us. Because the Spirit knows what's coming, and it's good. And the last thing my dad said to me was more of a question that I remember in my life that I always remember. It's more of a question than a statement. He says, do you want to go for a walk on the beach? Because I had been going through a really hard time. And I had gone over to Jekyll Island, Georgia, to a hotel. He had just shown up close to my house and said, hey, I'm here if you want to talk or if you just want to hang out. And I went over. And I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I was expecting my dad to reprimand me, give me counsel, advise me, counsel me, lecture me, maybe be angry at me because my life wasn't going like I expected it to be going. Things were kind of falling apart. I was in the middle of a lot of chaos and confusion in my life. And he just sat and listened for like 2 hours while I just cried like a baby. And when I was done, I said, well, Dad, I guess that's about it. And he says, well, Charles, I didn't realize it was that bad. Do you want to go for a walk on the beach? Huh? No lecture, no advice, no counsel, no, you need to get your stuff together. You need to, you pull your, what do you call it? Put your bootstraps on, whatever, pull your boots up and go to work. Just do you want to go for a walk on the beach? And I told, last week I said, that's what God's saying to us, every one of us. Every day we get up, hey, you want to go for a walk on the beach? Hear the ocean waves breaking. Feel the sand under your bare feet, the breeze. Just hanging out with him. No expectations. No demands. No lecture. No, you better get it right or get left. Just take my hand. Let's go. It's religion that we're fighting against. And when God talks about whoever the Son sets free is free indeed, I want to get back to that about being free. Because see, the Pharisees of the time were trying to put Jesus under a system. They were mad because he wasn't conforming to their system. He called them out and said, You don't even keep the law of Moses. We're going to go over that here in a minute. So you don't even keep the law of Moses. You work on the Sabbath day. So you're mad at me for healing somebody on the Sabbath day? You've got your own religion. You don't know me because you don't know. The whole book was written of me. And you don't know the Word of God. You don't hear His voice because you don't believe in me. They refuse to believe in Him. They would rather believe in themselves and their system. So we have to fight to stay free, guys. We have to realize that religion is going to try to set us up and make us conform. And the more we conform, the higher we can move up in that religious system. And the more people will approve of you. And as soon as you question something, whoa, don't question us. We're the authority. So let's dive into chapter 7 of John. And so remember, Jesus has fed the 5,000. And the illustration there was, I fed you manna in the desert. I'm going to feed you manna now. And I'm going to give you the spiritual implication here that I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. He tells the woman at the well, what? I am the living water. You drink of me, you will never be thirsty again. What he's saying is, I'm everything you've ever been looking for. I satisfy your hunger, your thirst, your need for whatever. You fill in the blank. I am that to you. And God, we have to realize that God loves us unconditionally, not based on our performance from day to day, which can vary. Religion looks at our performance. God looks at the heart. You're either a son, you're either a daughter, or you're not. You either believe you're with him or you don't believe and you're not with him. And John says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He didn't want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. Why would you want to kill a guy that just fed 5,000 people, walked on the water, turned the water to wine, just healed a blind man? We can go on down the list here. He's been doing nothing but good things. He's a challenge to their religious system. He's an affront. He's a threat to their evil ways. And when we think of churches, we don't think of evil, but churches are evil. There's a lot of religious churches out there that are preaching the exact opposite of God, that God loves you. They're preaching the gospel that says God loves you if. It's heresy. And so he says they were looking to kill him, but when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Well, newsflash here, Jesus wasn't seeking to be a public figure. He wasn't seeking to be the king. He wasn't seeking to be a political president. There's no politics here. It's just my love for you. I'm going to reveal the Father to you. I don't care what political persuasion you are, what culture you are, what language you speak, what color your skin is. I want to reveal who the Father is to you because you've been lied to. And so, no one who wants, he says, since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. These are his own brothers. For even his own brother, look what verse 5 says. Even his own brothers did not believe in him. And we need to stop and think about that. You know, Mary, the virgin birth, but then Joseph and Mary had children after Jesus. I know the Catholic Church preaches a false doctrine. That she did not, but she did. His own brothers did not believe him. Therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. There's an appointed time for everything, guys. When you think about it in your own life, how many times in your own life have you like, hey, I just wish you wanted to speed up the future maybe, or you wanted to slow it down, and say, well, you know, and you try to time things. And God's timing is perfect. His time, Jesus is saying, my time is not yet. Remember when he told his own mother, Mary, at the wedding of Cana? She says, do something. They're out of wine. Do something. She knew what she was dealing with here. What did he say? Why do you bother me, woman? My time is not yet. Because Jesus knew the moment he stood up and said, I am that great I am, that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. I am that lamb caught in the thicket that when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. I am Melchizedek who appeared in the Old Testament, the king of Salem, the king of peace. I am The whole book is written of me. I am God. And don't get confused. Jesus always talks about revealing the Father. They are one. When you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at God. They are one. He can only do what he sees the Father do. They are one in spirit. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We can't figure that out in our mind because we think of, oh, Oakley's, there's his son right there, and we separate the two. And they have different personalities. They're different ages. They have a different appearance even. Not so with Jesus the Son. He is the exact image and representation of God. Exact. He says, for you, any time will do. He's telling his brother, for you, any time will do. In other words, you can do whatever you want. I do what my Father says. My time is not yet. When my time is yet, my Father will let me know. And I will be where I'm supposed to be. And that's with our lives too. It's kind of like, have you ever tried to make something happen? You try to make something happen and you try really, really hard and you really want something. Maybe it's you want a better relationship with someone, or maybe you want a better conditions at your job, or maybe you want a better situation with your family, or whatever is close to you. You're really, really trying hard. You're giving it everything you got and nothing seems to help. And maybe God is just saying, it's not time yet. There's some other things that need to happen before this is going to come to completion. So what do we do in the meantime? We enjoy our life with him. Enjoy our walk with him. He's saying, trust me in this, guys. Oh, ye of little faith. How many times did Jesus say, oh, you of little faith? I'm in the boat. I'm asleep. You guys are worried about drowning? Who's in the boat? The God of the almighty universe creation, who created the winds and the waves, is in the boat with you. I'm going to show you who I am. Be still. Whoa. This guy must be some kind of prophet or something. You think? You think? And so he goes on to say, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You see, as a born-again Christian, our works are never evil, because Ephesians tells us, in Ephesians 2, he says, we are his workmanship, or we are his handiwork. Now listen, everybody think about that. Say, I am his handiwork. You're perfect. Tell me you can say God's handiwork is not perfect. You're perfect. Perfectly loved, perfectly like he wants you. You are his workmanship. You're his handiwork. Created for what? For good works. To do good works. And to walk in them, which he prepared beforehand. I've got all these good things for you. Just go walk in them. Enjoy. Have the abundant life. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you. Well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. He does. And he's saying, don't worry about it. What are you worrying about? What's that going to change? One thing. We understand. When we understand how God loves us, we start viewing our whole life differently. Like I say, your perception of who God is determines how you're going to live your life. If you think he's a guy out to get you, he's a rule maker, he's a taskmaster, he's going to trip you up, he's going to punish you, he's going to pour his wrath out on you. No. Not his children. That's for the world. The wrath of God is for the world, the ones that don't believe. And it's not even because God wants to pour it out. It's just because he's just and holy and righteous, and it's just the way it is. He says, you go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time is not yet fully come. Now later, he is actually going to slide in there to the festival. We're going to see that. After he said this, he stayed in Galilee. Basically, he's saying, I'm not going up right now. When my time's come, when my Father says go, I'll go. We need to pray that prayer in our lives. When God says go, go. When he says sit, be still, sit and be still. God will speak to you guys. He will. He speaks to me. He speaks to you. You just have to listen. Trust your heart. Oh, my God, I can't believe Pastor said that. See, I was brought up, you can't trust your heart, Jeremiah. Jeremiah says your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that was what was preached. That was preached. Your heart's wicked. Your heart, you can't trust your heart. Yes, you can. You have a new heart. You're a new creation in Christ. He's taken that old heart of stone and given you a new heart of flesh. You can feel again. You have emotions again. You can have the Spirit in you. And you can delight yourself in the Lord. And I will give you the desires of your heart, says the Lord. What are you going to do with that? Delight yourself in the Lord. I will give you the desires of your heart. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. I thought about this. Have you ever had to go anywhere in secret? Because if somebody saw you, they'd be like, hey, there's a troublemaker. Now, at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? What's so important about this little guy that was born in Bethlehem, that's from Nazareth, he's never studied the law, they're going to be amazed, and he's going around doing it. What's so important about this guy that they've got to be looking for this guy? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. So, verse 14, not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Here again, he's going to reveal himself. Here's who I am. He's going to reveal himself to you just the same. And he's going to do it out of love. He's going to overwhelm you with his grace and his mercy and love until you just fall on the floor and just cry. Say, I don't deserve this. Oh, yeah, you do. You're mine. We don't say, I don't deserve God's love. Yes, you do. He created you. He loves you. He saved you. His desire is for you. He wants nothing but good for you. And Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. Here again, Jesus is trying to reveal the Father to these people. What do you mean your teaching is not your own? You didn't go to a seminary. You didn't get any education from anybody. You're just a poor guy from Nazareth, son of a carpenter. There's a million of those around here. Who are you? So, well, I'm trying to tell you who I am, if you'll just listen. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Anyone who does the will of God, what is the will of God? Believe. The will of God, John chapter 6, believe. John chapter 6, 40, whosoever believe, looketh upon the Son and believe in Him. This is the will of God, and that you believe in Him. The works of God, that you believe in Him. How do we do the works of God? We believe in Him. So anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. This is Jesus saying, I'm not seeking my own glory, I'm seeking my Father's glory. There's nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Hypocrites. And guys, if you get a part, if you've ever been a part of a religious group, and I have, I've been caught up in that. Thou shalt not and must do this and can't do that. If you've ever been a part of a religious group, it's a very common phrase to go around. And people will say it from the outside, looking in, say, I don't go to churches, but it's a bunch of hypocrites there. But they're looking at performance, and they're looking at religion. Yeah, there's a bunch. As long as you're going to try to be under the law, you're under a curse. The Word of God says, who is under the law is under a curse. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're not bound by any law. We're free. We don't have to do anything out of tradition, out of habit, out of practice to please Him. We already do please Him because we've believed in Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. We have to have faith. You want to please God? Have faith. Isn't that cool? And He says, why are you trying to kill me? They said, you're demon-possessed. The crowd answered, who is trying to kill you? See, Jesus knows their hearts as He knows the hearts of us. And I think sometimes, well, God, if you know my heart, I'm not always thinking good things. And God says, I know that. But I still love you. That's why I sent my Son. Take care of that business. You're now perfect in Him. Perfect, holy, blameless, righteous, redeemed, sanctified, set apart, born again, new creation, loved. Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you were all amazed. Whew, you ain't seen nothing yet, right? I did one miracle and you guys are... And what are they going to do? Show me another one. Show me another one. Show me another one. Do something else. Do something. Do this. If you're God, prove it. No faith at all. It says, wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh a sign. He said, blessed are those who haven't seen me. That are more blessed are those who have not seen Him. Guess what, guys? We are more blessed. We didn't see the miracles. We are the more blessed because we're by faith. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, although it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? He's calling them out, you hypocrites. Stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. Verse 25, we'll try to get through a little more here. We're not going to make it all the way through 7. Sorry. Maybe I'll do some more on 7 later, and you can get the video for $99.99. Yep. At that point, verse 25, some of the people of Jerusalem begin to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Wonder why his time had not come yet. You know, and I think this is applicable in our life too. I think we can pretty much go about our life. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you get home and you turn on the news and the place you just drove through, there's a major car pileup, and you look back at what time it happened, that was 15 minutes ago, and you think, I was there 15 minutes ago. Your time's not yet. You know, and you think, wow, that could have been me. I could have been dead. There have been many times in my life I look back and, wow, that could have been me. I could have been dead. Your time's not yet. God still has a purpose for you. If you're breathing right now, God still has a purpose for you. And it may just be to show the love or to receive it. And maybe you're tired of showing the love. Maybe you just need to receive it. Maybe you just need to say, God, I need some of this love. I need a big hug right now. I just need to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee. Snuggle by the fire. We all need that. We need that time with God. He's always reaching out, always there. He's always that one saying, hey, do you want to go for a walk on the beach? It's easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In fact, I'm going to carry you. I'm going to be faithful when you're not. And I'm still going to love you. I'm going to love you. There's nothing you can do to separate. There's nothing we can do to separate from us the love, from the love that's in Christ Jesus. There's nothing you can do. Once you're His, you're His. You can't even walk away. You're born again. Understand that. You can't even walk away. Well, God, I'm tired of you. You hadn't been good to me lately. You ever heard that song, What Have You Done For Me Lately? What have you done lately for me, God? Nothing. I'm walking away. God's like, no, you're not. Yeah, go be mad for a little while. I'll be here when you get back. And if I'm not, and I may just come get you and just drag you back and sit you down and put a cloth of righteousness on you and go kill the fattened calf and let's eat. Here he is speaking publicly. They're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. They can't figure this out because they know his mom and dad. This can't be God. I know his mom and dad, even though he doesn't have a mom and dad. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. And this they tried to seize him. Now they're really mad. Why? Because he's speaking truth. You think about it, guys, you only get mad at people when they say the truth. If somebody tells a lie about you, you kind of do what? Go try to tell Elon Musk he's a poor guy. Ha ha, Elon, you don't have any money. He's going to look at you and go, how you doing? No king's protest. Go try to tell Trump you ain't president. How you doing? Anybody that is somebody, go try to tell them they're not what they are. They're going to look at you like you're of no significance. But go tell somebody the truth, they're going to get mad. They're going to get angry. They tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because, why? His hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, when the Messiah comes, he will perform more signs than this man. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. And we'll close out with this and finish up 7 next week. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. And that really threw them into a tizzy. They're like, where's this guy going? That we cannot go. So the purpose of Jesus again here is to try to reveal the Father to these people and to the world. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe him should not perish but have eternal life. So if you're born again today, guys, think of it this way. You're never going to die. Because we think of this, I just buried my dad at 93, and we think, oh, his life's over. His life's just begun. We were joking yesterday, is the first one of the first Georgia games, maybe the second Georgia game, football game that I haven't watched with my dad, or at least been on the phone with him. Dad, who do you think is going to win? I don't know. Who do you think is going to win? Who do you got for quarterback? I don't know. They need to get rid of that guy. Okay, yeah, let's get another guy. And we're doing the football talk. And so we were joking with my stepmom. I was on the phone with her yesterday, seeing how she's doing. And I said, Doug, they got a big screen up there. It's a big, big, big screen. I said, I'm sure he's watching the game. He's having a great time. Don't worry about him. And this is the peace we can have with each other, guys, is that we're going to live for eternity because we know him and we believe in him and we belong to him. So just remember, you are loved. Don't listen to religion and don't listen to the world. Don't try to conform to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, who is God? He is. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the light. He's the life. He's the great I am. He's the everything you've ever been looking for. Let it go. Rest in him. We all need a big hug. He's ready to give it to us. Okay? Don't make a minor thing into this major thing that takes over your life and you can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak. And we start looking at our little circumstances. I'm at another transition point in my life. How many people have been through a transition in their life? And you get to these points where you're transitioning. You don't know really what it looks like on the other side. But you know it's going to be good because God's got you. And I look back over my life and I go, wow, what did I worry about? What did I get upset about? Because I look back and you can see God's hand every step of the way. Right, Chambray? Amen. Right, Teresa? Tanya, everybody? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another time to be encouraged in your word. We thank you for loving us as we are. Lord, just guide our steps, direct our path as we just continue to follow you in faith. We trust you, Lord. Your mercies are never ending. They're new every day. Your mercies are new every day to us, and they're never ending. We have grace upon grace in you. We have truth. We have life. We have hope. We have a future. And it looks good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.